Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
Second hour of four, kicking off. Our beat reporter covering the Redskins is Craig Hoffman. He'll be heading out to Los Angeles to cover the Skins and the Chargers. Craig, let's get started with an injury report. Jordan Reed already has been ruled out via Adam Schefter. Of course, the team hasn't made that official, I don't think, but his report is that he will not play. Who else is most likely to miss Sunday's game?
Monte Nicholson, I would assume, is going to miss at this point. He's had the concussion that it's really weird. I talked to him at this point, I guess it was 10 days ago. I'm still trying to figure out. Like, it's much easier to remember when weeks go Sunday to Sunday. Sometime between 10 and 14 days ago, the week immediately following the concussion. And he was really progressing well, but he also understood the seriousness of what a concussion is and that it's a brain bruise. And it seemed like he was on track to play that weekend, and then he's missed two games since, and I think this will be number three. So it's kind of bizarre, and it's scary, too, that he's had the setbacks. But I think he's the only one that's really ruled out so far. I think Trent Williams, who's the other guy, has obviously missed some practice, is probably going to play, even if this is maybe his final game. If they get eliminated from the playoffs this weekend, they might make that move. Morgan Moses is a little bit of a risk to miss, but it seems like he's going to play right tackle because Ty Nsekhe has been practicing at left tackle this week. So I think Monte is really the only guy outside of Reed who's definitely going to miss this game despite all the guys who were questionable.
Craig, the law firm of Bosa, Ingram, and Hayward is terrific. They're really good. The two guys up front in terms of Bosa and Ingram, 20 sacks combined, and Casey Hayward may be the best corner that nobody talks about in football. Redskins have their work cut out this week.
Yeah, for sure. Bosa and Ingram they're incredible. They're definitely two of the top 10 pass rushers in football, if not two of the top five this season, the way they've played. And obviously, one complements the other. And I'm not really sure at this point who's better or which one's complementing the other. But when you have guys bookends like that, you know, there's only so much help you can send. So make those guys guess as much as possible. But at the same time, you're talking about two elite-level players going against two wounded tackles, unless Ty Nsekhe's playing tackle, and then you're talking about a backup tackle, even if he's a good backup. So I don't really know what the game plan would be other than some of the same kind of stuff they've tried to do earlier this year, get the ball out quickly, try to establish the run, which obviously involves not doing some of the things they did against Dallas where you have to abandon it. But I think that's probably the game plan, the best thing they can do. And then I will say this, though. You know, the last time they played a really elite corner was the Saints and Marshawn Lattimore, and they went after him early with Josh Doctson. And Doctson really won those battles, and then Lattimore got hurt and obviously was out until he returned last night. So I think they trust in certain situations, specifically those jump ball situations, they trust Doctson against pretty much anyone. But his ability to do basically anything else, that could be severely limited.
Craig Hoffman's on Grant and Danny, our Redskins beat reporter here on The Fan. Ty Nsekhe, we've talked about this, you've mentioned it. It was bad on the right side filling in for Morgan Moses. That was his third position of the game already when he played right tackle, and he hadn't played a lot on the right side. So I kind of chalked that up as, you know, mulligan and try again with some days of practice leading up. If he does have to play a substantial role, do you think he gets back to being a reliable piece?
Yeah, I just think he's too good of a player to be, I mean, that bad. That was bad. And the thing is, like, none of us have played tackle. And I don't know whether it's something that's pretty easy to translate side to side, or is it like a left-handed hitter trying to hit right-handed? You know, obviously, you're like, oh, it's swinging a bat. How hard can it be? And then you go pick up a bat, and hitting lefties way different if you're right-handed. And, you know, the footwork and everything is mirrored. But if you haven't practiced it in a while, and where you distribute your weight and all those kinds of things are different, like, I could see how that would be on some level difficult. And not to mention, he's playing against a really good player last week. DeMarcus Lawrence, at one point this season, or for a long stretch of this season, was the NFL sack leader. So I think that stuff all has to matter, too. I do think it's interesting, though, that he's been practicing at left tackle all week. And I don't know what that means necessarily for Trent, if that's more backup than anything else. But I would think they would get him some reps on the right side. But and I asked Jay yesterday where he's been practicing. He said it's left tackle, which I think also means, by the way, that the guard experiment might be over for right now, and that Chase Roullier could be back in the mix this week, but playing guard instead of center. So that's something else to watch for on the O-line. But to answer your original question, GP, yeah, I do think that Nsekhe playing his more natural position at left tackle and with more consistent reps and not having to fly around will be a more effective player.
At Craig Hoffman on Twitter. Follow him if you care about the Washington Redskins. Let's flip sides of the football here, Craig. Defensively, again, the Redskins have started off well in almost every game, and then they've fallen apart basically mid-second quarter on. The stats are not kind to them kind of after that. Melvin Gordon can play, but that's second to me to what Keenan Allen can do. Everybody wants to stop him. Nobody has. They move him around everywhere. Phil Rivers gets him the football a ton. They've got just enough counterpunch where if you try to take one thing away, they've got an answer. How do you slow down this L.A. offense?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I was talking to Josh Norman a little bit yesterday, and it was like, you know, what does Allen do well? He's like, everything, you know, and that's the toughest thing for a corner. You know, when you're facing certain receivers, you know that, okay, if I take away this and I force them to do these things they're a little bit more uncomfortable with and sit on those routes, then I can be effective. Keenan Allen's a complete player. He can get vertical. He can run some of the underneath stuff. So, you know, with the entire route tree available and Phillip Rivers willing to throw the entire route tree, he is one of the tough recovers in the league, and his numbers over the last three games show you just how good he is. He's double digit catches. He might be over a buck 50, I think, in two of those games, triple digits in all of them yardage wise. And he's found the end zone a number of times as well. So he's legit. But the thing that's exciting, I think, for Josh is, and if assuming that he gets his fair share of time on Keenan Allen, is Phillip Rivers will actually throw him the ball. Josh is somewhere between 10 and 15% this year in terms of passing plays where he's actually thrown at. So you're looking at 1 to 1.5 of every 10 passing plays actually goes in Josh Norman's direction. It's a big reason why he doesn't have an interception. So, you know, what this all goes to in directly answering your question is they got to have guys make plays. Like if Phillip Rivers is going to challenge Josh Norman, Norman's got to make him pay for it. Bashaud Breeland's going to get challenged. He's going to have to make him pay for it. You know, Kendall Fuller's got to continue playing at his high level. And then it's up to the guys up front, those D linemen, to try to help limit Melvin Ingram and Melvin Gordon and try to limit that run game, make them as one-dimensional as possible. The offense obviously plays a role in that as well, as do special teams, stay out of bad field position, don't turn the football over, all those things they did against Dallas where you have a team that can do whatever they want offensively because they're playing with a lead. Time score situation factors in too. So I think it's going to take a total team effort to stop their offense because they do have so much going for them.
And it should be a really difficult task for the receiver group and for Kirk Cousins. I saw quarterback rating against for the Chargers, third best in football. And if you're looking at like what they're considered big wide receiver performances, catches, yards, otherwise in the passing game, I think they're number one or number two in the league as well. So there aren't that many huge plays in the passing game on the outside to be had.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think Jamison Crowder's got to have a huge game. And, you know, you'd hope he can after the disastrous week that he had last week. You know, this is a guy who's been so good for this team and all of a sudden is feeling all this vitriol because as close as one player can come to losing a game, like he frankly did last week, and that's not meant to be mean. It just is what it is. And so when you think about the pass rush, okay, you want to get the ball out quickly. You think about how good they are on the outside. You mentioned Hayward. You know, maybe the inside's a better way to attack there. So some of this quick game stuff where Kirk's really, really good and Crowder's awesome and maybe can break one, run after catch style, I think a big day for him is going to be needed. I think Byron Marshall's going to have to play a big role, and maybe they can get creative with him as he's been here longer and longer. Can they split him out a little bit more like they used to do with Chris Thompson, a guy who obviously played receiver at Oregon, so he's comfortable out there. It's just a matter of him actually learning everything and exactly how they want their routes run and what they're called and all that kind of stuff. So they might have to get a little creative on offense this week. And also, you know, something just random that I've been thinking about the past couple of weeks, guys. Have we seen any trick plays out of this offense this year?
I feel like no. Like, right?
The closest thing is the jet sweep to Crowder, which they need to run as a staple running
play.
Yeah,
but there's
been
no, like, halfback pass, flea flicker, yeah. Nothing crazy.
What about the one where the tight end wanders down the field like Billy Bob in Varsity Blues, and next thing you know, it's a throwback pass to him? Where's that?
I that it'd help be helpful if you had, you know, the tight ends to be super distractions, a.k.a. Jordan Reed, where Vernon Davis can wander around lost and no one seems to notice. But, like, you got a 1% chance of the playoffs. Let's have some fun. Like, let's see a halfback pass or maybe a wide receiver pass. I think the wide receivers on this team might have a little bit better arms than Samaje Perine. But, like, screw it. Run a double reverse. Like, I would love to see something like that. It's not really how they've played the past couple of years. This is not like a trick play kind of offense. Jay is so good at scheming stuff up that's more quote-unquote standard. But if you need to get creative, you need a spark, you're on the verge of being eliminated anyway. There's probably a chance they're eliminated by kickoff, depending on how these chance of the playoffs. Let's have some fun. Like, let's see a halfback pass or maybe a wide receiver pass. I think the wide receivers on this team might have a little bit better arms than Samaje Perine. But, like, screw it. Run a double reverse. Like, I would love to see something like that. It's not really how they've played the past couple of years. This is not like a trick play kind of offense. Jay is so good at scheming stuff up that's more quote-unquote standard. But if you need to get creative, you need a spark, you're on the verge of being eliminated anyway. There's probably a chance they're eliminated by kickoff, depending on how these playoff scenarios play out, because they're one of the late games. Like, let's have some fun. Screw it this weekend. That's my plea and my pitch.
Much appreciated, Craig. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
Yeah, you got it, guys.
See you, pal.
Nick Sundberg was named the Redskins' Walter Payton Man of the Year yesterday. He'll be on the show at 11:30 at the bottom of the hour. Brant and Danny on the Fan. A Christmas miracle for me.
Steve Martin, SNL style.
And this is all I want for Christmas. Is that people understand how attribution works, just universally. Because if you think about it, there are so many of these kerfuffles, these issues that happen. So often I get upset at someone that didn't do anything wrong and vice versa. We all need to take a course. It should be a prerequisite, a 100-level course on how attribution works. When someone says something and that gets put in a story, and then written about by someone else who writes a lot of words around their one quote. If you're mad at those words, you're not mad at the person who had the one quote that started the story that someone else wrote. My Christmas
miracle.
What are
you referring to?
It was that we understand attribution as a platform. We've got to figure it's all aggregation, right? It's some commentary.
There's 2 cents on it. Yeah.
Here's my analysis. I'm throwing out the quote. But I love how some blogs do it. Like Barstool Sports separates the quote. And I think they even did this in that 24/7 piece. Where it's like a different color, and it's right in the middle with italics, and you can see the quote, and then the rest is written around it, and it looks very obvious. These are my thoughts now.
Yeah, I will say that's something that Barstool does really well.
They do.
That's their wheelhouse, where it's like, this is the personality of the author of the story.
Yes.
Like our boy Barstool Nate, who's kind of like DC's rep. He'll write funny takes, whatever he writes, and then it's like, here's the story I'm referring to. This is clear text that's almost like a picture of someone else saying something, and then it's back to me. Very clear that you don't get to get mad at Barstool Nate about what the guy said. You can get mad about what he says if you feel like it. You know what I mean?
I don't know what kind of package you have to wrap that into as a present for me that everyone understands attribution. I know Shorts would love that present. Shorts would love a present where people properly attribute and understand. Give me that gift. That would be lovely.
We got to do that next week, the special holiday gift that you want. I got to figure out what mine is.
Really?
Yeah.
I've got others, by the way.
That one would be nice. I'd go, oh, attribution, thanks. Like, I'd be happy to get it, but it wouldn't be my first choice. It wouldn't be like when I got The Legend of Zelda in 1986. But it'd be good. I would like that.
Because it's even the Mount Rushmores of this industry botched this, as we found out today.
Oh, sorry.
Like, honestly, if you're putting together a Mount Rushmore of media personalities in the nation, today, right now,
sports media
personalities, Dan Patrick's probably in that Mount Rushmore.
He's at a minimum in the conversation. At a minimum.
Is Bob Costas in the Mount Rushmore?
For some. For me, he'd be on my Mount Rushmore. For me, he'd be the know-it-all tour guide explaining every element of the Mount Rushmore.
Who's the Mount Rushmore? Throw some names out.
In sports media.
Sports media titans.
Is it Boomer Esiason is one? Right, is one of the king snakes talking football has tons of platforms.
He's really
New York
good,
show.
But I don't know that he's on the level of like a Costas or a Patrick.
Okay, elite guys. Because I'm sort of narrowing this in football. I probably shouldn't be. Al Michaels, who's been
around
forever,
might be a Mount Rushmore person. I think it's in the conversation that Dan Patrick has his face etched.
He's one of the few guys that, I mean, think about the other people that have done what he's done. Where you're on SportsCenter, to me, he is what SportsCenter is. I think about him and Keith Olbermann and their shtick back and forth. Dan Patrick, the effortless and smooth way he delivered highlights, that to me is synonymous with late 90s baseball. Kenny Mayne doing, he hit it over the fencing they created in the outfield. Yeah. That counts as a home run. That's his first of the game. Or whatever. Awesome. But Dan Patrick, the Fuego, gone. That stuff is awesome. To leave ESPN, people don't recognize this a lot. A lot of people get a little too big for their britches and think, I'm bigger than ESPN. I'm going to leave. And then they get smacked down by reality where no one cares about them. People care about Dan Patrick. Craig Kilborn, who I think was a star, left ESPN. His version of The Daily Show got tens of viewers, and he's like a cameo, a small role in Old School, and that's all he's done for the last 25 years. Dan Patrick has built himself an empire off of what he did before, and he's amazing. He absolutely belongs in that conversation for Mount Rushmore. Who knows?
My point is that one of the most influential and powerful and respected and revered minds in sports spent 6 minutes today basically crushing me for something I didn't have much to do with. Because we all don't understand how attribution works. It's a problem right now. And the other of the issues is this microphone in front of us matters, man. Mm. It matters. When we say dumb things, they come back to us, Danny. And they should. And we know that. And so occasionally you're going to say something dumb, you're getting a little bit of trouble. It matters. And it's a good reminder all the time that it matters. But just floating things out there that are really big stories and really big deals in terms of the perception of people, whether it's Kirk Cousins or it's Jamison Crowder or it's anybody else, people are going to have a comment on that, especially people who are plugged in on the situation, who talk to people at Redskins Park and agents and players. Why wouldn't you have an opinion on that? But, man, it's been a crazy day. It has been a crazy day. I hope we get DP on the show. I believe we've been told that he's going to try to carve out some time today before 2. He may or may not call. If not, maybe in the next couple of days, I guess this will all die off. But I guess what I don't like is if you've never heard of our show before and then the credibility gets called into question by someone with credibility, it's not a good look. Everyone says, oh, well, any publicity is good publicity. I don't really believe in that. I like when people celebrate you for doing well, but if someone, the first time you've ever heard about someone, there are a lot of hacks out there. There are a lot of people who do dumb things that don't take radio or writing very seriously. And so if the first time you ever heard about somebody was their name in that context, you just chalk us up to one of 800 radio people on Radio Row. About 500 of them might be hacks.
Yeah, I'm actually with that line of thinking because the first time a lot of people heard of me was when I made fun of Samantha, at that point, Steele, who turned into Samantha Ponder because she married an NFL player. Never forget that, by the way. I made fun of her after Deadspin made fun of her, where she wanted to work at ESPN, so she went to an ESPN zone to work. Which the analogy to me would be I went to a Best Buy because I wanted to be on television. It's ridiculous. And it ended up working out. She searched her name, found that was happening on Twitter, and then, like, you know, and I basically let her have it. So the next thing that happened is people are writing up stuff about me where I'm this boorish, over-the-top jerk, and all these snarky putzes are like some radio bully jackass. Like, that's the first introduction to me. So you're right. Stuff matters.
Absolutely does. So does doing good work in the community like Nick Sundberg does. He's going to join us next on nice. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yesterday it was announced that long snapper Nick Sundberg has been named the team's Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winner. There are 32 of them around the NFL. Every team gets one rep. And then one of all of those 32 finalists is named the National Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winner. So hopefully that'll be Nick Sundberg representing the Redskins this season. Nick, congratulations, man. Pretty cool honor.
Thank you. Thank you, Grant. I appreciate it. Danny, Thanks for having me on, guys.
Oh, it's a pleasure, dude. This really is cool. I love it when good people do good things and it gets recognition. Did you ever think your Loads of Love program would kind of get this kind of attention?
No. I honestly didn't even know if we would be up and running by this time right now. I really, really didn't expect it to kind of have the or to kind of blow up the way it has. But I'm really excited that it has, and that, you know, it's kind of gotten some really cool recognition.
How do people find out about Loads of Love? And give them a quick, you know, 60-second elevator pitch. You were on the show a month plus back about it, but that's one of the reasons you're getting nominated, obviously, for this award.
Yeah, so basically there was a study done that my wife came across that she showed me, where this company put washers and dryers in three schools in L.A. and three schools in Missouri, and they went to the schools and asked for a list of their most at-risk kids. They put all these kids in a program where every single day of the school year they can drop off a bag of dirty clothes. And at some point during the day, a teacher on their off period or a PTA member volunteers to come in and wash and fold the clothes. And at the end of the day, the kids pick up their freshly washed and folded clothes. And they saw attendance rise over 90%. Grades were like 89% higher at the end of that school year. And so basically what we did is we took that program and we did three elementary schools in PG County and in two shelters that focus on families with young children in DC. And we're hoping to have similar numbers to that. Even if we get 20% of the numbers that this other study got, it's a giant. So right now, basically, I have to report back to us every so often and get in and grades and stuff like that. And so hope take those numbers back to PG County, to Loudoun County, and say, here's what we did. Let's expand on a grander stage.
It is awesome. It's a great program. And Nick Sundberg is with us, honored as the Redskins rep for Walter Payton's Man of the Year Award. And Chad said this on a show the other day, and this is totally true. Anytime any of us has had something, where for me it was my MS bike ride team, multiple sclerosis, a cause that's obviously had pancreatic cancer, his Prevent Soldier Suicide event that he had, you've donated to it. All you are is a great dude that tries to help and has the means to do so, and it's awesome. So, again, congratulations. The negative side of this, though, is your former teammate, Lorenzo Alexander, is also a Man of the Year Award.
I know. I saw that.
Have you trash-talked him and saying you just want to finish higher in the overall award than him?
No, not yet. I did. There are three Cal guys that were nominated, by the way, out of 32. So, almost 10% of the Cameron Jordan.
Oh, no, I love that
in New
guy.
Orleans.
What a good dude. Yeah. I met him at the Super Bowl this past year at the EA Sports Party. He was the coolest guy ever.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy. He's actually from Phoenix as well, no big deal. But so I haven't had a chance to talk to Lorenzo yet, but I'm excited to. He does a ton of work in the community, and he's actually who, you know, I looked up to quite a bit when I was young here, and he was a veteran on this team. And so I learned so much just about how to be a pro from him and how to interact with the community and the team itself and how to do things the right way. So, I mean, I owe a lot of this to him. He taught me so much.
You're on a landline at Redskins Park. Nick Sundberg is with us. Where are you? Are you, like, sitting next to Miss BJ in the lobby, or are you in the lounge? Where are you?
I'm in the equipment room.
Equipment room. What? And that's just where they pass out, like, what you need?
Everything you could ever imagine is down here. This is where I spend most of my time.
I always wonder where you are.
Yeah, where do you hang out? Is that where you hang out?
Yeah, Danny, you know that raspberry pie I sent you?
Yes.
I put one in the equipment room, so I'm in here playing Mario Kart all the time.
Amazing. So, Nick, for those who don't know, Nick has a friend who's like a certified genius. He went to Cal with like a bunch of other smart people, and his buddy basically invented this thing that just is no bigger than a cell phone. It's like if you folded a cell phone once, like it was a transformer, and it's got thousands of video games from time past.
Awesome.
And it pairs.
I can't say he invented it, but he did make me one.
And I'm a recipient of one. You play with it sites that I clearly understand, and you can play whatever you want. And it's amazing.
It's a pretty cool deal.
All it does is keep me up late at night. My wife gets mad.
Hey, Nick, before we let you
go. I just knew you would appreciate it, Dan.
Of course, you're right,
dude. Can we tend to some moderately serious kind of awkward business real quick?
Yeah, hit me.
There is a, I'm not even going to call it a report. But
what do we call this?
There's just stories being floated out there that some of your teammates that are receivers are not Kirk Cousins fans, and I wonder what your reaction is to that.
Yeah, I've seen all the hoopla about that. I follow both of you guys on Twitter, so my reaction would be I don't believe it. It's tough. I mean, that just seems like someone trying to stir a pot that doesn't necessarily need to be stirred. You know, it's there's always anytime you lose a few games and it's this time of year, there's always some sort of drama that comes out. I think that's well documented. But I tend to just let those types of stories go in one ear, not the other.
It is December, and you guys have a losing record, so I feel like a lot of this stuff starts swirling around anytime that happens.
It's about that time.
As a player, you probably just have to kind of shut it down and not pay attention, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, you can't let any of that. What are we going to do? Am I going to, like, am I supposed to go talk to Jameson Crowder and ask him what's wrong? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're all men here, right?
You won't hold a press conference. This is about this your, is a man, your love for Tressway. Yeah.
Hold the press conference in the equipment room.
I will do it. Don't you tempt me with a good time.
Are you guys still playing ping pong?
Yeah. Tress is still kicking my tail every day, but I'm working to get better.
Is Chris Russell still doing his best to get that ping pong table removed from the locker room?
He's been lobbying.
Yeah, we got a new one, though. It's way better than the old one. So he hasn't been in a long time.
All right. I wonder
he would be freaking out.
He would be freaking out.
The distraction
out.
Level.
That's true.
It's emblematic of something. I don't know what.
It was weird. Chris was on the show the other day, and I said, why haven't the Redskins gotten their winning record working? And he said, well, they have a ping pong table in the locker room. And that's what he chalked
terrible.
It up to.
We have correlation, yeah, sort of if not
Saints,
causation.
Just a heads up, the Saints have a ping pong table in their locker room, too. Theirs even has their logo on it and everything.
And they lost on Thursday, Nick, so you tell me.
Yeah.
I know. It's a total correlation. I get it.
Hey, do you know that if you guys don't win again, Chris Russell has to walk from our radio station to Redskins Park?
You know, I have heard that rumored.
Well, I know that obviously we all want you to go 4-0, but let's just talk about Chris Russell for a second.
Let's just say what if.
Do you think he could pull that walk off?
No shot.
No?
No shot.
Would you be willing to walk one of the furlongs? We're taking people to walk with him for like a half mile at a time, like Forrest Gump.
Absolutely not.
All right. Very good.
I don't think I could walk that far. And that's why I donate to things like Danny's MS Bike Fund, because I don't want to actually ride a bike.
I'm on your team.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's why you're the best.
It's so far. That's so much work and effort and sweatiness and
it's gross.
No,
Walter
right.
Payton, Man of the Year Award winner, Nick
well
Sundberg.
Deserved, brother.
Awesome job.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
You bet. Grant
thanks,
and Danny
take
on
care,
the
boy.
Fan. There's Nick Sundberg. He's got to go get ready for practice. The Redskins are getting ready for the Chargers in Los Angeles. We'll get next quick winning off the field, and we got to start looking ahead to the NFL weekend that will be. You're listening to The Fan. Quick here, but if you do want to go winning off the field, we'll let you. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in. 800-636-1067. That's up to you. I've got a winning on the field, actually, we've got to call attention
to. Oh, okay.
This is not a winning off the field. I believe Rich and Olney, who normally, as soon as he hears winning off the field as a bat signal, calls right in, I believe he's right now at the hospital because his baby's being born.
I believe that is correct.
Winning
so,
on the field.
A man who you hear on this segment just about every week, one of our most loyal listeners, is having a child today.
He calls in and goes, good morning, gentlemen.
Winning on the field.
I'm having whiskey and a cigar. That's usually what he does.
What's the chance that he's having whiskey and a cigar to celebrate the birth of a child tonight?
It's really good.
98%?
What Rich does is calls in and has an occasion that he's going to be drinking whiskey, smoking a cigar, grilling meat, and having some solitude. That's not the case today. He's winning on the field. Congrats, buddy. Excited for you guys.
How are you winning off the field?
This is an off-field win. I love, as you know, getting dressed up in suits and looking nice and all that kind of stuff.
Say you love it more than anyone knows listening? I don't think you talk about it enough. It's one of your favorite things to do that you don't get to do very much.
Yeah, it's like a special treat for me. I like doing it. But the thing that I've always said, I don't have a lot of money. The thing that I would spend money on if I had money, to burn. Like, in other words, I have that kind of cash that some of these people we talk about has. Here's what I'd spend my money on. Massages and pampering treatments. All the time where I would go to places like the grooming lounge.
Yes.
And have an attractive woman shave my face with all the finest oils and all the different things that come along with it. In the lather
shave.
Rubbing
shaved, of your face.
And there was head massages and nice haircuts. I would do this all the time. I don't get to do it very often because, again, It's pricey. You can't just do it as a regular
guy.
I
hope she wouldn't shave your face all the way to the skin like that one time when you had all that face.
We couldn't do the show because you just stared at my face.
I felt terrible, but I couldn't look at you.
Yeah, well, that was also in a fatter face time. It's very red.
I wonder what you'd look like now.
Still like a overenthusiastic youth preacher. Just terrible. Like it's an awful look. But next Saturday, I am going to the grooming lounge. It's my special treat. I'm very excited about it. I will be making an appointment. I will be getting a shave and a haircut.
Are you going to get a shape up on the beard, or are you going to get it knocked to zero so I can see that face again?
There'll be a beard trim involved. Because what I do is I say, young lady, this is your palate. As gross as this dumb gargoyle face is, it's at maximum, it's a 4.5 with the good light in a shadow, under an overhang, at the certain time of day where people can't really see all my features. Make this look as good as you can. Mm-hmm. This is your palate. This is your oil painting. Make it happen. I'll be going to the grooming lounge, and I'm going to get a shave and a haircut. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Pretty good. That's really good. Tomorrow, I don't have to work. I don't have a Caps game. I don't have any obligations with Fox.
Is this your first true non-work day in many moons?
It's been a little while. So I'm going to go to the ice sculptures situation with my family over in National Harbor and feel like a little bit of a kid again. And then I am going to lay around and watch Army-Navy and some sport on television. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field?
Let's go to Brian in Stafford. Brian, how are you winning off the field?
Hey, Brian.
I'm winning off the field for two reasons. Number one, I got in before Rich and Only.
Winning off the field?
And therefore, I am. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Very good.
And number two is I'm winning off the field because I have not had a verbal altercation with Dan Patrick at all this week. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field?
Well, all of us can
this
say
week.
That. Oh, wait. We can't.
That's true for every... It's not my producer telling me that it's not true for everyone.
That's a good winning off the field. Normally, I could say that every single week as well. Although it should be noted that there never should have been an altercation at all.
Well, he's mad at Greg Paulson. I don't know who you're talking about.
No, he's mad at a website who wrote a story.
No. He's pissed at this Greg Paulson character.
He is.
There's lack of integrity there.
Let's go to Julian in Alexandria. What's up, Julian?
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Robert, Virginia's the greatest state of the union.
The Commonwealth.
Virginia's doing great.
It's crazy because my manager's actually called Bob, and I try not to die laughing every day when I come in.
Hey, Bob.
Why don't you, when he walks in every time, go, hey, Bob.
When
hey,
someone Bob. Says his name, I would lose
I
it.
I literally Bob. Do that every day.
Bob.
That's good.
But today I'm winning off the field, guys, because I get to read my favorite series of comics right now. It's DC's Dark Knight's Metal, and I'm just chilling with my son reading comics all day. So I am
winning off the
That's
field.
That's Nerds R Us stuff.
What
I dig
a
that.
Great day.
Good for you. John is in Winchester. What's up, John?
Hey, John.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Greg and Dave. How are we doing today?
Die.
Hey. I am winning off the field. My brother's back from Afghanistan from 16 months, and he's down at Andrews Air Force Base, and I'm going to go out and have dinner with him tomorrow in D.C.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank him for his service on our behalf. That's very neat.
Winning on the field.
Dan in Lexington Park, you're on the fan. What's up?
Hey, gentlemen. I was supposed to have to help somebody move tomorrow, but with the weather rolling in like it is, we're not doing that, so I get to watch the Army-Navy game instead. So, therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
What time is Army-Navy tomorrow? Anybody know offhand? I'm going to Google
that. Is that three bells?
That's a Pete Medhurst question. Get me that answer when we can. Let's go to Matt in Stafford. Matt, how are you?
Hey, how's it going? Grant, I really hope you get a chance to communicate with Dan Patrick. And ironically, you both agree on how weird it was what Marshall Faulk said and Steve Smith.
We could bond over what we both called nonsense, so that would be good.
And then at the very least, hopefully he'll see that it was that website that had the headline that he doesn't want to get back to Kirk because he had nothing to do with that. But there's no pre-treatment on the roads. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Thank you, buddy. Mm. Is it supposed to snow tomorrow?
That's what I'm hearing.
Like an accumulation amount? What are we talking about?
I think snow is coming. Can we go to the Doptar desk, please, for this?
Dar, what do you got?
I think it's only supposed to be like an inch. If that.
An inch is a big deal. An inch is ground cover. An inch is and you can't leave your house.
There's snow on the ground. Get to the store in the next 20 minutes.
What time's it going to snow?
think I read it was supposed to start overnight and then be a little bit tomorrow morning.
Doctor, I'm putting you on the spot here. Is there going to be snow during Army-Navy up in Philadelphia?
I don't think so. I think it's supposed to be like
just cloudy
east of us.
Because I got to tell you, for my viewing pleasure, selfishly,
that would be good.
I'd be a little bit sized.
Like the optics of a little snow football, Army-Navy, Cakesy, silly. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Cakesy.
Pete, who is the voice of Navy football and everything else Navy.
Yeah, why is he still here? Shouldn't he be up there?
He just informed us in the Dopdar news desk, the UMSO news desk, that there could be 3 to 5 inches tomorrow during the game.
Yes!
That's what we're talking about.
I want that!
How's Navy going to spread them out and sling it around like they like to do in all that snow?
Don't they drop back and throw it 50 times a game?
Oh, wait. The snow works well for them because they run it 90 times. Forgot about that. They'll set you up for a couple passes here and there.
It's the kinds of passes that I like a lot, where there's 3 different run actions, and then there's one guy who, again, has to wander around like he's lost, like Billy Bob.
Play action down the field. I'm going to have to listen to old Pete Medhurst on the call of Army-Navy tomorrow.
CC, Pedro.
What do you say? He loves Army-Navy. Him and John Feinstein
together.
He should.
It's the most pure college game there is.
It is
cool. It's awesome.
It's the greatest thing we have other than Olympic hockey.
Listen.
Did you say that?
You keep bringing that up.
Okay.
I was too nervous because John Walton talked for 17 straight minutes without taking a breath. I overshot a little bit, okay? I shot the moon. At least I'm not feuding with Don Patrick,
That's
Greg.
A good point. I apologize. I brought the show down.
Danny Rauher.
He's Danny Rauher. I'm Greg Paulson. You're listening to The Fan. We'll go blitzing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.